For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
How close did you come to going to Kansas City? And you also mentioned Kyle kind of come in at the last minute. How did that all play out over the last few hours?
Yeah, well... You know, I had good conversations with the people in that organization, and they made a good push. Once I got the hunch that, you know, KC seemed like they was ready to make it official, you know, I called Cal, I couldn't even really just get it out and just tell them, but I was just like, hey, man, we just need to hurry this up, you know, you get my drift.
We're going to talk a little bit more coming up about Trent Williams' decision to go to the 49ers instead of the Chiefs, but I'm stunned that Patrick Mahomes got involved in trying to get Trent Williams.
Uh-huh.
Didn't work out.
Right.
They made a pitch for Juju Smith-Schuster to go to Kansas City. Didn't work out. Josh Reynolds, for crying out loud, all due respect. I don't mean that. I mean, we're not talking about a star receiver, though. Kansas City wants him. He goes to – where did he go instead? Where did Josh Reynolds go?
Oh, I can't even remember off the top of my head.
I think maybe the Dolphins.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Thank you, Pete. Went to the Titans. So we'll talk more about some hindsight free agency. We're still barely a week into the official process.
Well, yeah, can we hit on that subject a little bit just for a second, just why it's out there? I mean, first off, it's a special left tackle. He's a Hall of Fame left tackle. I mean, that's what he is. So I'm not shocked that people like Patrick Mahomes come out of the woodworks and are like, please, please protect my backside. I need you badly, especially after the Super Bowl. But I think, again, it's a great example here, too, of like this is what a good coach is. I know Kyle Shanahan's a friend and all of those things. But my point is more that it's a player's league still. It's a player's league. And it shows you when – you know, you treat the players, not that you have to treat them like, you know, they're your own little baby and kid all the time. That if you're just honest and, you know, you create the relationship. And, yeah, you coach them tough and you demand a lot of them, but you let them know because, hey, I think this is what you're capable of and all those type of things. This is where it pays back the coach and the organization. For the coach having good people skills and understanding players. Because now he's going, wait, the Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes, most likely going to be back in the Super Bowl. You know, that type of thing. We're going to be the biggest show in the NFL. But, man, I like this head coach. And he's been great to me ever since he drafted me in Washington. Hey, they got a deal. They got a deal. We need to make this happen. If you know, this got to happen fast. That to me just shows, you know, the people skills that are needed from NFL head coaches, and Shanahan obviously has that to make that work.
I agree with that, but at the end of the day, I think bringing the dollars to the table.
Yeah, no doubt. I hear you.
Makes the difference too. And also, the 49ers were willing to craft a contract that allowed Trent Williams' agent to say, we beat David Bakhtiari for total annual average by $10,000 or something like that.
Right.
Highest paid offensive lineman in league history, even though it's really two different contracts. And the first 3 years are real. the second 3 years are likely not real.
Right, yeah.
The second 3 years are what drive this thing to $23.01 million per year. It's $20 million, and it's somewhere between $20 and $21 million for the first 3 years. Still good money.
Yeah.
But I think it, the Chiefs, we may have overestimated the value this year, this cycle. And maybe it comes into play once the market completely slows down and there are guys looking around. And there's still plenty of guys out there looking around for their next destination. Maybe that's when having a Patrick Mahomes, a Tom Brady makes a difference in closing deals. But when you're talking about the early days of free agency.
Yeah, money talks.
Getting texts and phone calls from Patrick Mahomes is not going to supersede the cold, hard cash that the team does or doesn't bring to the table.
Yeah.
All right, there wasn't much cash brought to the table by the Saints to keep Jameis Winston, his base value on his contract, about $5.5 million. He can make more than $12 million in incentives. He had a media availability on Tuesday, I believe it was. I can't keep my days straight this time of year. But Jameis Winston, among other things, spoke about his relationship with Drew Brees. This is powerful, powerful stuff. Have a listen to what Jameis Winston had to say about his 1 year with Drew Brees in New Orleans.
Well, that moment to me was like being able to have an entire season with Drew Brees was a dream of mine. Like, and for him to put his arm around me or, you know, just give me any encouraging words after I saw the resilience, the passion, the way that he went and approached every single day. But that to even be a story, like I was touched by that because he doesn't even know how much he means to me and my family, for real. But I'm not going to share what he shared with me. I don't even remember, but it touched me. Been having a chance to play in the playoffs after like winning a playoff game, like getting a chance to throw a touchdown in the playoffs. Like, I love football. That's all I've done my entire life. And someone that I look up to, that I admire, that I actually could touch was my teammate, and I had a chance to serve him. Like, man, I'm speechless to that. Like, that really gets me emotional because I really love Drew Brees. Like, I don't think he understands. I know my wife do. I know my family do. But, yeah, I don't understand the impact that him and a lot of other quarterbacks had on me as a quarterback growing up in Bessemer, Alabama. Yeah. And y'all don't never understand, like, a lot of people don't understand that human aspect to an athlete. But, nah, man. just know I love Drew Brees, for real. Like, I really do. And I was just happy that I was able to witness what he did.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I was blown away by that. We had it last night on PFTPM. It blew me away then. Seeing it again today, it blows me away. I'm impressed with the passion and the emotion coming from Jameis Winston, and it just shows you what an impact Drew Brees has on his teammates when that's the impact that he had on a guy who wasn't even on the field with him except on that gadget play when he threw the touchdown pass in the playoff game. I think Drew was still on the field for that.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be for the Saints, but you know what? Sean Payton's got two that he can choose from,
yeah,
and two that he can use interchangeably. And we know how this goes. He's going to keep it quiet. He's going to maybe put out some misinformation, and we'll find out come week one who his quarterback is.
Yeah, we'll see. And he's going to let them compete. I mean, that's the one thing you know with Sean Payton, too. It's going to be a real competition. Like, yeah, Taysom Hill might get to start with the first team, you know, the first week and do all that. But, it's not going to be like one of those, like, hey, it's a competition. I'm saying that. But I continually let one guy be the starter and show the team that he's really the starter, even though we're saying competition, you know, out there, out loud, in the media sessions and things like that. I think it will be real. Taysom Hill's going to have to earn it. I think he's going to have to earn it, too, just because you want to make it look like the guy earned it, you know, to the rest of your football team. You know, it's one of those things, again, you got to be careful about anointing the guy the starter, and then Jameis Winston goes out there more days of the week and dominates practice, or also all of a sudden has a preseason game, and now your team's going, what the hell is going on there? Did you want to say something to that? I thought
No, you're absolutely right. You have to have credibility in the locker room. You can't prop up Taysom Hill if Jameis Winston is clearly the better guy.
No doubt.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Is this a true competition where it goes to the best guy, even if it's only by a little bit? Or do you think that the Taysom Hill contract and the history gives him an advantage where if it's close, it goes to him?
I think if it's close, it goes to him because of that. You're right. I do. I think if it's close, it'll go to Taysom Hill because of he's been there. He's been a good Saint. He is Sean Payton's, you know, pet project and all of those type of things, to where if it's really close, I think Taysom Hill gets the benefit of the doubt, you know. And I think the team can rally behind that. Again, hey, the team's going to go into the year two going, wait, can Taysom Hill really be the guy? Is he really? So they're going to want to see him prove it in training camp and preseason and do all that stuff too. You know, it's a different year, you know, to be the guy instead of like, hey, I'm the cool little toy that comes in and, you know, can do some different things than Drew Brees. There's not a lot of pressure in that type of situation. But I expect to see a real competition. And you know, back to what Jameis Winston said there, you know, that is amazing. I mean, it really is. You know, you could tell he's touched in general. He probably feels like, hey, he's got a second, you know, life in football, a second chance here to make something. And you know, I was fortunate to see a guy who won a Super Bowl my rookie year right off the bat. But when you're a guy like Jameis Winston, who's really not been around a guy like that in his years in Tampa, you know, as much as he thought, you know, I'm approaching practice in a professional manner and I'm doing meetings and I'm really about my business. You know, it's when you get around guys like Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or those kind of guys, you start to go, damn, I'm not doing enough. I didn't realize what they do to be so awesome all the time. I thought I was doing what I needed to do, but, you know, there's those times where you need, you know, a coach or a player to kind of show you the way. Not everybody comes in the league knowing how to be a professional and how to approach it. And that's where it's important. And that, to me, that seems where, like, Jameis Winston gets, you know, real emotional, because I think it's probably changed his outlook on the game and how he has to approach the position. And he's just so happy that he's going to get a chance and then that he got to learn from Drew Brees. This is pretty damn special.
Yeah, it's been a masterclass for him. And it reminds me of when he was at the Pro Bowl for the first time and he was loading up his plate with eggs and bacon and breakfast stuff.
Right,
and he sees
right.
Russell Wilson and someone else coming back from a workout. That was his epiphany. That if I'm going to be serious about this, I got to bust my butt all the time. And think about historical comparisons, and I'm having a hard time coming up with one.
Yeah.
Where, and this speaks to the motivation that Jameis Winston should have going forward.
Right.
He is playing for a team in the same division as the franchise that made him the first overall pick in the draft, that kept him for 5 years, that brought in a coach, hand-picked coach to get the most out of Jameis Winston. That coach threw him overboard after a year, brought in Tom Brady, won a Super Bowl, beat the Saints in the playoffs to get there. If that isn't motivation for Jameis Winston to do everything he can to win the job so he can beat the Buccaneers every chance he gets and out-compete them, that's his real competition. It's not Taysom Hill. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I can't think of another time, and maybe there's one out there that I'm not thinking of, and if anyone thinks of it, go ahead and email it to us, Florio@ProFootballTalk.com, or tweet it to us, where there's a quarterback who was rejected, ultimately, by the team that drafted him, and he's there in the division.
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe
was the only one that
came to my head. Drew Bledsoe, right? With Buffalo Bills. But no, Mike, I mean, your point's still real. I can remember that with Drew Bledsoe and the Bills. Remember, and I think they played the opening game that next year, and the Bills, you know, laid it to the New England Patriots and blew them out and all that. The Lawyer Malloy year.
That's a year. You're a year off.
I'm a year off.
Right church, wrong pew.
Okay.
That was 2003. But 2002 was the year that he played for the Bills after being traded for a first-round pick Tom Brady became the guy after winning the Super Bowl.
But
so
rare.
He was part of that team and got kicked to the curb. At least he got his ring for that team. And he got to play. He led the team to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady got injured in Pittsburgh, and Bledsoe carried them to the AFC Championship. This is Winston getting thrown overboard a year before they develop a Super Bowl winner, and now he's in position where he can be the giant killer. And he's got to win the starting job before he can do it. But I'm just saying, think about that motivation. I was their guy, and then I wasn't, and they won a Super Bowl without me, and now I got a chance to be the starting quarterback against their top rival and keep them from doing it again. I'm just speaking skill, everything else, that's a different conversation. The motivation that is there, the thing that will get him out of bed every day or should get him out of bed every day between now and the start of football season, I can't think of better motivation than that for Jameis Winston.
No,
and I suspect Sean Payton's already had that conversation.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, Sean Payton, we know he's feisty. He's probably all in on that. He's probably waking up every day going, man, I want to shove it up these Buccaneers' butts. I'm so sick of hearing this crap. I mean, that's just the way he is. I mean, he's edgy. So, yeah, they're gonna be a motivated football team in general. And you're right, Jameis Winston is going to be highly motivated by a lot of different things, certainly. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he can do, you know, if he does get that chance to be the starter. And, again, it's one of those things, too, where we talked about it a lot. I mean, it's, you know, backup quarterback for Taysom Hill, the way he plays the game, you know, I would think more likely than not you're going to get a chance to play at some point during the year. And I'm not wishing anything bad on Taysom Hill. I really like him. I'm rooting for him. I think he's got big-time talent. He can do some special things. There's no doubt about that. But Jameis Winston, whether you win the job or not, be ready to go, because we know. We saw Taysom Hill get banged up a little last year. He's been banged up a few times the last few years. But now this year he's got to play quarterback every week if he wins the job. So hopefully Jameis will be ready to go.
There's a competition in New Orleans. There's not supposed to be a competition in Green Bay. It's just awkward in Green Bay because of what happened last year in the first round of the draft, a first-round pick packaged with a fourth-round pick to move up to get not a high-end receiver, to get a backup quarterback to Aaron Rodgers. So when we last addressed the Aaron Rodgers contract situation, Mike Silver of NFL Media was suggesting that there was some sort of restructuring, maybe new contract. And, you know, if they were trying to work something out, it looks like the deadline was yesterday, because the day came and went, $6.8 million roster bonus paid to Aaron Rodgers. That they were looking to create cap space by converting that roster bonus to a signing bonus. They blew the window to do it. And, you know, Chris, it's hard not to look at this and wonder, do they want to avoid kicking the can and creating a bigger cap hit next year if they were to trade him? And that's what would happen if you would convert the vast majority of his salary this year to a signing bonus and push it into future years. If you trade him next year, all that money comes onto the cap at one time. Bottom line, Packers want to continue year to year, I believe. Aaron Rodgers wants more certainty and a greater commitment than that, and so far he hasn't gotten it. And the fact that he got $6.8 million yesterday as not part of a new contract tells me that he's farther away from getting that contract than he was before the money was paid.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it does seem fishy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at it, you look the way his contract's set up. I mean, next year they could get out of it. Yeah, they're going to take a good – if they had to trade him, you know, like you said, I don't know, the post-June 1st type of stuff, there's going to be a dead money of $17.2 million. You know, they can split that in half. Teams can deal with that, you know, where the cap is, you know, probably projected to be for next year. So I do find it curious. I really do. But where I think it's, you know, again, not going to be in the advantage of the Packers in their front office is just I just think there's just no way Aaron Rodgers doesn't play awesome this year. There's no way. I don't see it. I think he's totally comfortable in the offense. I think him and Matt LaFleur have a real connection there. I think Nate Hackett is involved in that, the offensive coordinator / quarterback coach, who's a rising star in the ranks too. You know, I think there's something special with these three. And again, I'm going to go back to what Matt LaFleur said the day after the game, or it was the day of the game, when he almost broke down in tears, to go like, he's the heart and soul of our team. He is the guy. He's 12. He's AR. He's A-Rod. Whatever the hell you want to call him. He is the freaking man. And I think that's where, you know, the front office is in a little bit of a disconnect here with it. And I just, again, if Rodgers, how are they going to sell that to their fan base next year? Maybe he sells it to them going like, screw you guys. You don't want to make a commitment. I'm out of here. I don't know where this goes, but I'm with you. It is a little curious with how this was handled.
Three quick observations. Yeah. First of all, if they had maximized the ability to take his compensation for this year, added up, signing bonus, not signing bonus, but base salary of 14.7, roster bonus of 6.8, you make the minimum salary of 1.075, you turn the rest of it into a signing bonus, you add a couple voidable years onto the contract to get the maximum spread. If they'd have done all that to get the minimum cap number this year for Aaron Rodgers so they could go get some free agents, they'd be looking at a $33 million cap hit next year, not 17 if they trade him. So that's, yeah,
that's a reason
not to do it. Second, I agree with you. I think Matt LaFleur is caught in the crossfire between the front office,
right,
and Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And I think what's going on here, I think Mark Murphy is a genius. Now, Aaron Rodgers may not like the way the genius is manifesting itself. I think Mark Murphy knows exactly how to keep Aaron Rodgers in the right zone of pissed off. Sorry, London. We talked about this earlier in the week, the Wes Welker mentality. Mm-hmm. You don't want him to be too upset. You want him to be just upset enough so he's awesome like he was last year. Just upset enough so he's motivated to be the MVP. So now they have it set up. We can let him go next year. The cap charge would be $17 million if we trade him. That's manageable.
It is.
Relative to some of the other cap hits we've seen, it's a lot more manageable than 33. So that's looming. So what does Aaron Rodgers do? He comes back and he kicks ass again, and he's the MVP again, or close to it. Mission accomplished for Mark Murphy. I'm telling you, for as smart as Aaron Rodgers is, Mark Murphy's smarter. Aaron Rodgers is playing chess. Mark Murphy's playing 3D multi-level chess.
I don't know Mark about Murphy, that. I like Mark I'm Murphy. I'm not buying into all that. He's real good. Don't get me wrong.
Here's what he's using against Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers' obsession with never being the bad guy, with never upsetting the fan base. He's afraid to get treated like Favre did after Favre left. Rodgers was the starting quarterback the day that Favre came back as a member of the Vikings. And every time Brett Favre was on the field, they booed him and booed him and booed him and booed him. Aaron Rodgers is trying to avoid that, and I think Mark Murphy understands it. And, you know, because you made the comment about the possibility that Aaron Rodgers will say, screw it, I want out of here. He won't. He won't do it. Because he knows that makes him public enemy number one if he does.
Well, but I think they got to be careful here, as he won't be. Because this is going to be more on the organization than Brett Favre's scenario would be. This is going to be a little bit like, no, and I think the fans will be able to see it and go, wait, no, this is our team's fault. This isn't Rodgers being like Brett Favre and stringing the team along or being a little selfish like Brett Favre was. That's, to me, where it's different. And listen, Mark Murphy, Gutekunst, I mean, you know, before last year in the draft, I mean, I've liked everything they've done. And I still like a lot that they do. I just think last year's draft was stupid, okay? I don't know any other way to say it other than that. And I think what I look at, you know, you can argue, again, like you're saying, Mark Murphy's smart. Yeah, he's playing 3D chess and all that, and Rodgers is playing just chess or checkers, whatever. But I could also sit here and go, you sure? You might be playing tic-tac-toe. You were in the Super Bowl window with the arguably the best quarterback in the game, and you didn't go all in on it. So I could also sit there and go, no, I think you were playing tic-tac-toe or hangman on the side, and maybe Rodgers is playing chess. I could argue that side of it too. So that's where I don't know what to feel about it. You know, I'm conflicted with this whole Green Bay thing. I have a lot of respect in a lot of ways, but that situation still really bothers me and frustrates me, as you know, because I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan.
You made the comment about the Brett Favre situation being more on him and less on the institution. See, Rodgers was there for that. They managed to make it look like it was on Brett Favre. I still believe that they went to him February of 2008, went to Favre. knowing that if they pressed him for a clear commitment, yes or no, up or down in February about playing that year, he would have said no.
I know.
So they knew damn well what they were doing. They were playing chess with Brett Favre, and Brett was playing 52 pickup.
Well, maybe. Right? Maybe. But, you know, he had also done that kind of stuff the 3 years previous to that, too.
Oh, right. He had fault leading up to it.
Yes.
But they hatched the plan, I firmly believe. They hatched the plan to get him to finally get the hell out of here.
Do it early.
And how do you get him to get out of here?
Right.
You tell him we need to know right now, right now, Brett. You've been screwing around. I almost said a different word. You've been screwing around with us for the last 4 years. We need to know right now, are you in or you're out? Well, why do you need to know right now? We just do. We need to know right now, are you in or you're out?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm out.
Right.
And then you barricade the door with furniture, and when he shows up again and he gets out to another team, he becomes the enemy. And I think that's what's got Aaron Rodgers a little freaked out, frankly. I don't want to overly psychoanalyze him.
I'm sure.
But I think he's looking at this saying, they screwed Brett, and Brett ended up being the bad guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think that's why he made the comments he made after the game. It wasn't about, like, you know, him posing a threat or anything like that. He's just going, man, I don't know. This league's crazy. I don't know where the hell this thing's going to go. You know, I think that's what he was really referring to. Who knows? I never thought they'd have drafted a quarterback last year in the draft. Who knows? Maybe they'll trade me this year. I mean, so that's what he was trying to say. Maybe Aaron Jones won't be back. I think he was trying to say all of those things because it's a crazy league. And he's seen this stuff with Brett Favre like you've talked about. So, I mean, it's we're going to keep our eye on it, certainly. I'm interested to see what they're going to do in the draft here, if there's going to be anything else here in free agency that they try to do to boost the offensive side of the ball. Not that they need anything major, but, you know, it's funny that we're talking about a guy that's still very, very awesome. And we're talking about, they might be trying to push him out of the door here the next year or two.
Bottom line. The full restructuring to maximize cap space this year would have had the practical effect of tying Aaron Rodgers to the Packers for two more years, because it would have made the cap charge next year too much to bear. It's just as good as getting your next 2 years guaranteed.
Right.
So I think he was probably rooting for the full reduction and signing bonus and kick the can and voidable years and make it as hard as possible to trade me after this year. I think he wanted that and he didn't get it.
Right.
So, and if they had done that, what would they have? They'd have a lot of other money on hand to go out and sign free agents aimed at making the team better, with T.Y. Hilton, with Sammy Watkins, plenty of guys still on the market that could come in and make the team better. That's 17 million or so, 16 million that they don't have now because they didn't do that restructuring. I'm telling you, this is almost Shakespearean. The level of this fight between Rodgers and Murphy that has remained cold but could go hot at any moment. It's fascinating, and we will be keeping our eye on it. When we return, we're going to do a little free agency hindsight with a game of Would You Rather. I'm intrigued because I'm not quite sure what it means. I'll find out, and you'll find out when PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Well, I won't be doing anything at Pro Day, but just weighing in and things like that, just letting everybody just get my weight.
And what was that weight?
170.
Chris, wouldn't it be great if our job for a 2 or 3 month period, if all we had to do, somebody came to us and said, what do we need to do to enhance our status in whatever the field is? Oh, you just got to gain about 10 pounds. Hell, I'd sign up for that right now. I'd get it done by the end of the week.
Are you kidding me?
Milkshake, candy, ice cream. I'll tell you what, I could gain 10 pounds by tomorrow if I had to.
You look good.
Interesting candy choice. The giant, disgusting, never-ending lollipop.
Yep.
Those are awful.
Those are disgusting.
I'll take all the others. I like the little PFT cherry on top of the milkshake, pizza that looks that's making my stomach growl, and it's just a drawing of a piece of pizza. The ice cream, awesome. I love strawberry. The disgusting lollipop, giant, never-ending lollipop. Who buys those? Who eats those? Those are disgusting.
Well, listen,
Chris,
you want to gain 10 pounds, you got to have big lollipops.
Hey, I'm telling you,
you drop
that thing on the floor at LaGuardia, you're definitely not applying the 5 second rule.
Oh, I mean, who knows? I might get a whole litany of like diseases if you do that. Who could grab everything? You come away with COVID and a bunch of other diseases.
It is a petri dish on a stick. That's what that lollipop is.
Oh, right. I know. I never was into those either. I'm with you.
Disgusting.
It's just too much. They don't taste that good. I mean, if I'm going to do a lollipop, it's going to be like, you know, what is it, a Tootsie Pop or a Blow Pop?
Tootsie Pop.
They're amazing.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of the Tootsie Pop?
More than that freaking owl licked.
Well, never enough. That's right.
I can tell you that. He did 3. It's more than that.
3. Yep. 3. The answer was 3. All right. Let's get to, there's no segue for what we were just talking about, although I now want pepperoni pizza and Tootsie Pops. That's what I'm going to be eating later today, and I may gain 10 pounds in the process. Free agency hindsight, would you rather have, and let's look at this, right out of the gates, the Eagles signing Joe Flacco to a one-year deal, $3.5 million, fully guaranteed. He can make another $4 million in incentives. Shows how much he loves football. This is a guy who was the highest paid player in football 2 different times. Still at it, still going, taking what he can get. Would you rather have him for 1 year and 3.5 or Mitchell Trubisky for 1 year and 2.5, Chris?
This is a tight one because Joe Flacco is a really good backup to have. I mean, he is. He's a guy that I think can come off the bench and not flinch, and because he played and done all those things. But I'm going to go with Mitchell Trubisky still. I am. You know, just because I think of the athleticism that he can bring to the table and do that. You know, it's a guy that, you know, has played a lot of football over the last few years. You know, Flacco's had injuries. He's got the neck issue. And I know he got to play last year, but there hasn't been a lot of play. So I'm going to give a slight edge to Mitchell Trubisky, more just because of the athleticism and where the age and where he's at in his career compared to Joe Flacco. But it's close. Flacco's a good backup.
And it underscores the fact that the Eagles regard the backup quarterback position as critical to the roster. They have to be ready to put a guy in at a moment's notice. And they saw what happened in 2017. They won the Super Bowl with a good backup. Different style than Jalen Hurts. And I don't know how willing or eager Flacco will be to mentor Hurts. I remember when Flacco was in Denver and they drafted Drew Lock, he said, my job is not to mentor Drew Lock. Now, Flacco was the example of the guy who arrives as the starter via trade with the Ravens, and then they draft Drew Lock, and it's like, what the heck? I thought I was the guy. He goes into this knowing he's not the guy. He goes into this knowing that Jalen Hurts is the guy. I tell you what, for what they need by way of helping someone with Jalen Hurts, if Flacco's all in with that, then I think I'd rather have Flacco at this.
Yeah, it's a tough one, and I both have had a history of they can come off the bench and be good. I mean, we saw Mitchell Trubisky this year, you know, do that. You know, we also saw Nick Foles do that behind him. But yeah, I'm with you. With Flacco, there is some other angles that he brings, especially in a Jalen Hurts situation, that are special, where Trubisky is not going to bring a whole lot to, you know, Josh Allen and his development. It's just going to be about what he does on the field if he gets a chance.
All right, would you rather sign Dak Prescott to his record contract, 4 years, $160 million, which is a practical matter, it's 3 years, $126, and then you better get him signed to another record contract or he's walking away in free agency, or just let him walk away now with the market down, with the cap down, and him coming off of a broken ankle that every other team out there would have been concerned about? What would you rather have done in hindsight if you're the Cowboys?
Listen, it's really interesting. It is. I mean, I do sit here and wonder and go, well, what would have Dak Prescott got on the open market? Especially when by the time he signed his contract and did those type of things, you know, there's not a lot of positions to be had out there as far as starting quarterback. But I still think it's too risky. You know, I still think there's teams out there. And listen, there's just only so many times when you get the guy for your football team. And you know, wait, this guy is the guy that we can win with, you know, and win consistently over the next 8 to 10 years. That's rare. So, yes, I do think they overpaid him a little bit. There's no doubt. But I still think I would rather have him in his record contract than have rolled the dice and let him test the market, and we'll see what happens.
That would have been the ultimate boss move by Jerry Jones. All the credit he got, false credit,
yeah,
for having unique information about the fact that new TV deals were coming. He's the only one who knew. What a load of crap that was. Everybody knew that the new TV deals were coming. If you want a crystal ball, your crystal ball is the market is completely going to collapse. Guys are going to be rushing to do one-year deals or sign their franchise tags.
Right.
Maybe we shouldn't have tagged him.
Who?
Maybe we should have let him go. Who was going to give him $42 million a year on a 3-year deal with $95 million of it fully guaranteed, sight unseen with a broken ankle? No one.
That's where, like, you know, again, we didn't know. We're just seeing these questions here. All right. But let's just go through this little exercise real quick. Like, who are the teams out there that would have legitimately be interested? I mean, just right off the top of my head, I just said
Washington.
Washington, right?
Would they have done it,
probably
though?
Scared.
Would you have done it?
I don't know, but that probably scared the hell out of the Cowboys a little bit to go, wait, Washington needs a quarterback, and they're kind of good. Like, that could be thrown right back into our face. So maybe that's the reason. You know, we know that the Patriots, of course, had the money and the need at the time. You know, the 49ers, I don't know if they would have done it or not, but we've heard enough rumors
Bears.
There. The Bears, certainly, right? The Indianapolis Colts, maybe, before the Carson Wentz thing went down. That's a possibility. So maybe they evaluated that a little bit and said, whoa, some of these teams have a real need and money, and that's where you got to pay it. And I think that's why I come back to, you know, it's okay. Yeah, you overpaid a little bit, but still, you got your guy.
I think the real risk for the Cowboys would have been that even though they would have had the best financial offer, Prescott may have said,
I'm sick of it.
I'm leaving to make a point.
Right.
And that's where you have to call his bluff on. He's always acted like it's no big deal to be the Cowboys quarterback, no big deal. Make a bunch of money off the field, no big deal. Set myself up for a broadcasting career, making $20 million a year like Romo, no big deal. I don't think he would have left. I don't think he would have left.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen the all-in move from the Cowboys, especially because it's not my money and it's not my team. I would have loved to have seen what would have happened if they'd have said, we're not going to tag you. This is our offer. And you can either take it or leave it.
Right.
But we didn't know what you're going to do. And it ain't going to be $42 million a year over 3 years with most of it essentially guaranteed. All right, Ryan Fitzpatrick to a one-year $10 million deal or Andy Dalton to a one-year $10 million deal, which would you rather have had?
I would rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick. I would. You know, and again, I know Andy Dalton went to the playoffs and he's good and could do a lot of things. But that was a team that drafted him and kind of formulated a way around him for their team to succeed. You know, in this particular situation, I think, like, you know, hey, guys that are coming in to be a one-year stopgap type of guy, Fitzpatrick brings more to the table, in my opinion. First off, I think he's just a better player at this point. He's more of an aggressive thrower, decision maker. And here's the other thing where I would favor Ryan Fitzpatrick. He does bring an edge to your football team. You know, there's an edginess to him. There is something about his passion, the way he plays, the way he leads. You see it on the football field. You know, that to me would be one of my issues with Andy Dalton. I've never seen a, let's go, guys, what the hell are we doing? I'm pissed off. You know, I'm happy. I mean, I never see that. So I think Fitzpatrick brings more to your team from that aspect too, let alone I think he's a little bit better of a player right now.
My big concern with Fitzpatrick is there's always
the tragic
something that goes off the rack, the rails, and it's always spectacular, which is great for entertainment purposes. But yeah, the Fitzmagic, Fitztragic toggle switch. When you're all in with him, it falls apart. and then you expect nothing from him, and he amazes you. And it's good entertainment. I just don't know if it's the kind of good, consistent football you're looking for. I think Dalton is getting a raw deal. He took a team to the playoffs 5 straight years to start his career. And, you know, if you're not a star, and if you're not, it's like the ultimate pass fail. You're either a star or you're crap in the eyes of so many fans.
Yeah,
you can still
right.
be pretty good and not be a star.
No doubt. No doubt.
There's a certain, and I know there's a certain irony in that comment given the things I've said about Kirk Cousins over the years. All right. would you have rather franchise tagged Allen Robinson at $17.98 million
well,
or let
one.
Him test
okay.
the market?
All
Did
right.
I skip one? All right. Let me go back to one then.
All right. Fine.
That's all right. Well, let's do this one first since
fine.
We're already there
okay.
and then we can circle back around. Would you have rather tagged Allen Robinson or let him hit the market?
Ooh. I mean, looking at it in hindsight, I'd rather him tested the market, I think. I just looking at it. Now, I'm a little conflicted here, and again, I'm trying to figure this out on the fly as we go. You know, one, there's the argument of, like, you know, we don't have a guy like this, and Allen Robinson's a legit number one receiver. He's a difference maker. I mean, he's had a lot of good years with some really crappy offenses and quarterback play. We know that, you know, and he is one of those guys that even when he's covered, he's not covered. You can throw him the ball and it's not 50-50, it's 70-30. So I'm really torn with this one. But I think, like, with where you see the market at for the position, I don't know. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to say, no, you know what? You tag him. You don't let a guy that maybe the best player on your offense out the door and have to bid with somebody, even though that maybe they would have got him for less. I don't know. You just don't let that happen. So I'm going to go franchise tagging him was the right thing to do.
If their motivation was tag and trade, they shouldn't have done it because they're going to have a hell of a time trading him with $17.98
That's very true,
dollars,
right.
given the rest
yeah.
of the market.
Right.
If you really want to keep him, if you really do want to keep him and you really value him.
I know.
I still.
Tough one.
Yeah, it's, again, I.
We know the market now, too. I think that's changed. You know, right. It's harder to say it now or easier to say that now than it was, you know, 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago.
And you always do run the risk that he's going to leave just out of spite. He's going to say, I'm not going to come
sure.
back there. Cause you had your chance, and I'll take less somewhere else just because you had your chance, and I'm going to stick it to you now that I have the opportunity. Trent Williams, $60.8 million for 3 years, or Joe Tooney, $48 million for 3 years. And we're talking about the real years of the contract.
Yeah, that's right.
You hear the big numbers on the back end. It's the real money. 60.8 for Trent Williams, 48 for Joe Tooney. Which would you rather have?
Ooh, I'm going to take Trent Williams. I am. You've heard me gushing about it. I like Joe Tooney a lot. I really do. I mean, he's a really damn good guard. Trent Williams, to me, is generational left tackle. That there's a difference there. You could, you know, Joe Tooney, you know, is real good in a lot of areas, but I could sit here with Trent Williams and go, no, he's the best pass protecting left tackle in football. And I don't think a lot of people are going to argue. They're going to go, well, what about Bakhtiari and that? But it's okay. It's going to be like him and maybe a Laremy Tunsil in that conversation. And then I can go, well, no, he's the best run blocking left tackle in football too. And that to me is what sets him apart from others. Like Tooney, you know, you could say he's top in one area, but not towards the top in another area. Trent Williams just has no flaws to his game. He's special, so I would rather do that.
My answer is very simple, and
yeah.
this gets back to the admonition that I have as it relates to free agency generally. If a guy changes teams on the open market, there's a reason for that. And Bill Belichick was willing to let Joe Tooney go, just like he was willing to let Trent Brown go a couple of years ago. Trent Williams stayed with his team.
Yeah.
That money's coming from a team that knows him, even though he wasn't with the 49ers for more than a year. He was with Shanahan before that in Washington. He knows what he's getting. He values the guy. The Chiefs' move was more of a, we got to do something. We got rid of Eric Fisher. We got rid of Mitchell Schwartz. We got to do something. It
right.
can't be that meme of Patrick Mahomes with no one else around him and 11 defenders. We got to do something. So I'd rather have Trent Williams just because I'm going to defer to the institutional knowledge that led to Williams staying put and Tooney leaving.
Yeah, I think you're right there. That's the way I would look at it. You know, there's something there. The Patriots also were in a very, you know, they're in a position where their O-line's in a pretty damn good spot too. So I think they're happy with that. But, you know, I don't think I could sit here with Joe Tooney and go, he's top 2 or 3 at anything, right? You know, he's really good in all areas, but I wouldn't say, oh, he's one of the three best run blocking guards in football, or oh, he's one of the three best pass blocking. He's had years where he's been top three maybe in one of those. But like Trent Williams is a guy, like, it's been every year of his career. You go, he's the best. He is the best. Is the top of the line in everything he does. So that's the difference to me.
Let's take a break. Before we go, though, yeah. Robert advises that it takes 2,438 licks to completely expose the chocolate center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop. So now we know.
Real licks.
The owl was off by 2,435. There is news that Washington football team may be the name indefinitely and permanently for the franchise. Given that disclosure, we're going to have a draft of the best NFL rebrands of all time. We'll do that when PFT Live continues right after this. Jason Wright, president of the Washington football team, says that there are a set of folks that have warmed to the Washington football team name. It feels like it isn't jettisoning all the things that we have been in the past, whereas something that's completely new might feel that way. It's important for a substantial part of our fan base to feel that this is a continuation of something versus a complete reset, something brand new. And so Washington football team could be the permanent name. I like it. I like the uniforms.
Too.
I like the name.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's fine. And I'm hoping that they do it. All right. I have a trivia question for you, Chris. To determine the first pick in today's draft, the best team rebrands in NFL history, question is this. 8 teams wore new uniforms last season. How many of those teams made it to the playoffs?
All right, here, right off the bat, okay, NFC, you got the Rams, the Bucks, and the Washington football team. There's those three for sure. AFC, I believe it's only Cleveland, so I'm going to say 4.
Oh.
The Colts did have that little rebrand. Colts. You know, I looked at them, and I thought, I wasn't sure. Okay, all right. Yeah, what did they do? They just made it a little cleaner, like, right. Yep, okay.
There wasn't much. Yeah. I don't think it counts as a rebrand.
Okay, it's minor, fine. I'll take the first pick.
Minor uniform change. All right, go ahead. You can have it.
You sure?
Go ahead. You can have it.
All right. Wow, you're a nice guy today. Look at you, old timer. What a nice guy.
I'm taking it.
Okay, go ahead, old timer.
All right. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 1997, final answer.
Yeah.
After 20 years of the creamsicles in which they did crap, they switched to those uniforms. They come out of the gates. They were like 4-0 or 5-0 that year. It was Tony Dungy's second season as head coach of the team. And it just, I cannot recall another time where the image, the reputation, the vibe of a franchise pivoted more dramatically in one fell swoop, even though there's a lot of nostalgia for the creamsicles and Bucko Bruce. But those were so associated with years of garbage football,
yeah,
that making that pivot. Oh, look at the guy on the right.
Man, I look good. Woo, man! Little pregame warm up action.
Now they screwed it up a few years ago when they made the logo larger. They kind of unscrewed it up with the uniforms this past year because they did change their uniforms somewhat. I don't like the giant flag on the side, but I really do love the old school 97 Buccaneers uniform. Best rebrand in NFL history.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, when you talk about going, you know, from crap to something substantial, it was pretty big. I mean, it really was. It changed kind of the whole aura of the organization. I'm going to go with, you know, something similar to that, a little different way, all right? But I'm going to go with the Broncos rebrand. To me, that's one of the most special ones ever. I mean, they had lost 4 Super Bowls in the Orange Crush uniform. They could never get over the hump, right? 3 with Elway. They lost the one with Craig Morton at quarterback in the 70s against Staubach and the Dallas Cowboys. You know, it just was one of those things where it's like, you know, hey, it's a cool uniform, but it's associated with losing Super Bowls. And they change their uniforms and win the Super Bowl the next year. I mean, they changed it. That year, they were the number one seed and lost to the Jaguars, right, in that divisional playoff game in 96. That was the end of that uniform. They changed it. Next year, they go on to win the Super Bowl, be the Packers, and, you know, it's given them a different look as far as their organization is concerned ever since.
And, you know, the sad part is I've always hated the
the new uniform.
The new one?
Yeah. I don't like the stylized horse head. I don't like the numbers. I don't like the configuration. I love the old uniform. And the best look for the Broncos is when they peel off the ugly horse and put the old D on the dark blue helmet.
That is
because
cool.
Of the,
I like
you can't
that.
Do the old school helmet right. Because of the
we
one
can't
helmet
wear
rule.
Two helmets.
I love that though. I wish they would make that their regular look. Redo a uniform, dark blue helmet with the old D logo. I that was one that didn't need to be changed, but it proved its value.
Yeah.
Back-to-back Super Bowls.
That's
and
right.
And so that uniform is here to stay, or at least until they decide they can make a lot of money by changing to a different one. The Giants in 2000, they went to the Super Bowl that year by getting rid of what had become kind of the stale Giants thing that they felt compelled to shift to when they moved out of New York and to New Jersey. We're not in New York anymore. We can't have the NY on our helmet. They went back to the NY. And I remember just that look with the gray pants,
yeah,
blue shirts. It really had an old school vibe to it.
Right.
I thought that was a great change. And again, it took them to the Super Bowl right away. And they won two more Super Bowls after that in that uniform.
Yeah, no, it got stale. You know, the other one. You're right. It was a fresh look. It kind of changed the aura of their organization for a time period too. And you know, they made that change, and then they went to the Super Bowl, lost to the Ravens in that new uniform too. So there's something, you know, to that. Now I'm actually at the point now where I'm going, I'd like them to go back to the other one. I've had I don't know what it is, the old school rebrand, whatever. It's worn out to me. I like that old Giants helmet. And of course I'm a little biased because I grew up, that's all I saw, and my father was wearing it and all that. I wish they could do that nonetheless, because I do think there's a lot of New Yorkers up here that love that old Giants helmet.
They still do that once a year, the white on white with the old Giants
helmet.
But
they need it, like you said, the original color. It's the color of the helmet now, and not that, look, if you could show that picture again, Kristen, of Michael Strahan on the left, where it's a real dark, dark blue with the white Giants. You know, it doesn't look the same. You got to have that dark, dark blue. The G-Man. I wish they'd go back. All right. My next one, the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks went from that silver blue uniform to, you know, I don't know what the hell the color is now. It's a darker blue, and it's a cool, more modern uniform altogether. But that's one that I love. I mean, it was a total rebrand too, as far as, and they've even tweaked it along the way. But ever since they changed it, it just seemed like playoffs and everything became, you know, they became a more relevant team. The Mike Holmgren era started, and that kind of kicked it off to Pete Carroll, and now they're always relevant.
Next one for me, even though it did not unlock success, if anything, it was the pivot point toward 3 years of crap football, the Jaguars ditching the two-tone helmet. They did get to the AFC Championship in the two-tone helmet,
yeah,
but they also blew a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter in that godforsaken thing. They got rid of the two-tone helmet. They went back to the all-black helmet, and even though the team has a way to go, they need to get back to I like what they got back to with, yeah, the dark uniform, the dark helmet. That's awesome. Now they just need to get the players.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, when they keep it simple and like to the new one, like you're talking about it, I do like it. I'm stuck here. I do want to kind of go like Browns to Ravens. That rebrand was kind of successful, like the Browns moving to Cleveland, but it's not like a real rebrand. I think I got to go with the Patriots and what Bill Parcells did. You know, he changed it from that, you know, Johnny Patriot who was snapping the football to Johnny Elvis on the side of the head. That started it off, and they've gone to a whole lot of Super Bowls and everything ever since. So he was the jump-off point, and of course they've tweaked it since, but that to me is one of the best rebrands of all time.
But when they went from Pat Patriot to the flying Jay Leno,
yeah,
logo on the side,
right,
the problem was the uniforms that went along with it were hideous.
Not the best. They're
just
better now.
Hideous.
Yeah.
They're much better now.
Yes.
But anyway.
I dominated.
Also,
I won.
This isn't – no, you didn't. This isn't a rebrand per se, but when the Phoenix Cardinals became the Arizona Cardinals, I like that. Just because Phoenix is one type of bird, Cardinal is another type of bird, it didn't work. Arizona Cardinals works. We'll wrap up.
Do they have Cardinals
Wednesday
in Arizona?
Of PFT Live right after this. Probably not. Peyton Manning,
wow,
there he is at the University of Tennessee. Nice to see a guy who commits to Tennessee actually go to Tennessee. That's Peyton Manning,
yeah,
staying at Tennessee, becoming the first pick in the draft 1998. He turns 45 years old today. Happy birthday, Peyton Manning, one of the great quarterbacks of all time. I apologize for making a crack about him having the pecs of an 8-year-old boy earlier, but hey, he's the one who took his shirt off on Saturday Night Live, not me.
Yeah.
Great career. One of the all-time greats. First ballot, no-brainer, mic drop Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for him to be in the booth somewhere for football, because I think he will be awesome whenever he does it, Chris.
Yeah, legend. One of the greatest ever. I mean, there's no doubt about it. One of my idols. I mean, he was one of the reasons I thought I might go to Tennessee. With him, the way he was coached, everything, it didn't happen. But either way, Peyton Manning in his prime, woo, baby, it doesn't get any better than that.
If they'd only just paid you more, you would have gone there. I'm kidding!
See ya.
Tomorrow.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.